And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all are talking about this show. This one. I mean, like y'all. It goes from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. Straight across the line from there to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. By golly, that's just the radio. That's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, logging into the live stream, looking in the studio, audio, video, both of it. Places like X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters. And there's a ton of y'all that podcast. It's amazing to me how many of y'all podcast this show. Bottom line is this. I say all that all the time because I am acknowledging the fact that there's a bunch of y'all that catch this show in a variety of ways. And wherever you do, just know this, it means the world to us. Y'all are the only reason why we do it. So thank you very much. John from Huntsville texting in. He says, if I get to my text, he says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Thank you. Said, also, did you hear there's supposed to be a supermoon in the sky tonight? I did not. By the way, JP, I was watching the Alabama game, and with about 1 minute to go, I turned it off, assuming that at least Alabama wasn't going to meet the point spread. I found out later they scored another touchdown, which messed up my online point spread contest. So instead of saying something nice about Alabama, I hope they lose to Missouri.
He's just coping. What can I say? And yeah, we covered with like 30 seconds left, so just like a little cherry
on top.
I
remember you after game one. You were not good company. You know you weren't.
I was much better company than a lot of Alabama fans, let's just say that. Trust me.
You had to. You had a public persona you had to. We're going to get into crime in America, but you were pointing something out a minute ago.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about this Virginia AG candidate.
Oh, my gosh.
Jay Jones being outed as wanting...
Oh, it's on the screen right now.
Wanting to have or wishing that the Speaker of the House in Virginia, who is a Republican, would be shot and killed, and his kids would be killed.
And his kids, too.
And, yeah, so... I had some of the text right here. If y'all haven't seen it, but he pretty much says that he wants to put, you know, he wants to put two bullets in the head of the Speaker of the House of Virginia, and then says that he thinks him and his wife are evil and that they're quote breeding little fascists, and that people only change when the guy or person he was texting asked, are you really wanting his kids to get hurt? And he said, yes, I've told you this before. Only when people feel pain personally do they move on from policy.
My gosh.
So, and this guy is still in the race, by the way, has not dropped out.
So he's running for attorney general. That's the guy who prosecutes crime for the state of Virginia. This is the guy, by the way, what's his background? Is he besides being a state legislator, is he a prosecutor himself? Has he been a prosecutor?
He claims to, there's something about his legal background that apparently some people are questioning if it's even true. So he could have, I don't think he was a prosecutor, but I think some of his legal background may be fabricated as well. I've seen some people speculating. So this guy is just a walking fraud and walking hateful person.
Yeah. So I saw the headlines. This is the thing I told you earlier. I saw headlines and maybe I'm jaded, because I'm so used to something being said in politics and someone takes it and runs with it and makes a mountain out of a molehill or creates a storyline from a thread of truth. And not in this case, man. I mean, for a guy who wants to run to be attorney general, texting with someone else and not even saying, oh, man, I was just joking. He doubled down on it.
Yeah.
And he's talking about double tapping the Speaker of the House, was it?
Yes.
In the head. And then, oh, by the way, like to see his wife and kids dead also.
Yep.
And that guy wants to be the attorney general.
The chief law enforcement officer of Virginia is what he wants to be.
That's just unbelievable.
But it brings up, it's like, how many of these Democrats genuinely feel that way about Republicans in this nation? And like, just like what happened to Charlie Kirk, it's like their reaction to that, they would react the same way if, you know, somebody like us died as well, because that's how they feel about the Republicans and conservatives in America right now. It's like, how many of those genuinely deep down feel that way and, you know, have just not been outed for it? It's scary. But yeah, if that wouldn't have come out and he would have become, you know, the AG of Virginia, you would have had a guy that feels that way about conservatives being the AG of Virginia, and nobody would have even known.
By the way, what was he mad about at the time? Was he mad about a piece of legislation, a policy issue? Was he mad because they got into a fight at a bar the night before? I mean, what was he mad about? Do we have any idea?
It was after a speech that he gave. I can't recall what speech it was, but it was some speech that the Speaker of the House in Virginia was giving that he was responding to that to.
I mean, not this wouldn't excuse it either, but I mean, like, if you found him, like, if you caught him dating your wife or something, you know, I mean, I could see where there might be passion involved, but that would still be the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
But it sounds like he's just mad because of politics, and that's his solution, is to text that to somebody and then double down. All right, so the bottom line is this guy ought to be disqualified from, I'll tell you what, he's not going to be disqualified from office. Now, let me step back. Lawyer Phil is going to constantly be mindful of the fact that you were innocent until proven guilty and that there's been no alleged or indicted or convicted crime. That being said, I have to look at this from an ethical, moral standpoint, too. He wants to hold the highest law enforcement job in the state of Virginia, which is a major state. It's a seat of power. And that's the kind of guy that hothead wants to take the office?
Yeah.
I'm saying no, thank you.
And he's going on TV shows saying, look.
Yeah, what's his response been?
He said, I regret deeply making those texts. It was a mistake. Deeply. No, it was, you regret getting caught.
That's what it is. I regret deeply being caught. Oh,
yeah.
Did I say that? I'm sorry.
And so, I mean, the ad that his opponent, Republican candidate for AG, has already put out has been, it's been one that should bury any chances he has of running in the race. But like I said, he hasn't dropped out. So, you know. Hopefully, I mean, maybe that's better maybe he just gets destroyed in the election and maybe that sends a message.
By the way, who dropped the diamond? Who was he texting when this happened? It was a text between him and, I mean, I would assume that the other person had to be the one who divulged the text message.
It was. I actually have not seen who this other person was that he was texting, but yep, they were the one that released. And if you see screenshots of the text, the other person he was texting was saying, please stop. I don't like you talking like this enough, and he just kept going. And if you haven't seen the ad that his opponent, the Republican candidate, put up in response to this, it's pretty. What's like? Wow, that's.
Can you play? It?
I can go find it and pull it if you would like. But yes,
we might need to. You know, it kind of fits. So, all right. So this first dipper we're doing is called Crime in the Streets. Now, the only way you can deal with crime in the streets is to have law enforcement, prosecutors, and judges. And city officials who will help you keep crime off your streets. If you've got city officials passing ordinances that make the local laws and ordinances weaker, if you've got, you know, city officials who are defunding the police, if you've got prosecutors who won't prosecute or who constantly plead down, and you've got judges who don't want a sentence, and then sometimes, I guess, if you got state legislators that are passing stupid laws like cashless bail and crap like that. By the way, you know what cashless bail is? That's called get out of jail free. That's what that is. The get out of jail free card. That's all that is. Cashless bail. You have no skin in the game. You're a flight risk because you got no skin in the game. Yeah. So cashless bail. What a ridiculous premise. Anyway, that's not even bail. That's called get out of jail free. Why do they even call it bail? But the reality is, if you don't have those city officials and prosecutors, law enforcement, and judges all working in concert to try and bring crime to heel, guess what? You're going to have increased crime. We just saw it this past weekend in Montgomery, and it was unbelievable. Now listen, what happened in Montgomery, some of y'all are familiar with the layout of Montgomery. But you may know where downtown, where the Impact is. That's the Montgomery Performing Arts Center. I've been to a number of concerts there. It's also got the Renaissance Hotel is right there, kind of connected to the Impact. Across the street from that is a Hampton Inn, which stands in a historic building on the corner of, I think that's Commerce, and I'll think of the other one here in a minute. And then right next to that is a place called the Alley, which is a very cool kind of walk between buildings tunnel almost that has restaurants and things in it, one of which is one of my favorites called Zaza's. 14 people wounded, 2 killed in a massive gun battle right there on the corner next to those major. By the way, that's also, by the way, a block away from the Montgomery Biscuits baseball stadium. So this is not even supposed to be a bad area. I mean, Montgomery's got problems. It does. High crime and violent crime, for that matter. But they've been getting things under control. But we understand that there was a historically black college, university, HBCU tournament of some kind.
I think it was a homecoming event of some sorts.
Okay. So there's a lot of people in and around there because the Crampton Bowl is right down there. And I read that it was really maybe only two people who got mad at each other and pulled guns, started blazing away in a crowd indiscriminately, like they didn't care who they hit when they're trying to hit each other. So they're just blazing away. All I know is I'm sitting here watching the videos of the police closing off that entire city block into the crime zone. And I'm thinking how many times I have walked those sidewalks and eaten at those restaurants, stayed in those very hotels that I just talked about, gone to the Biscuits game. I mean, it's literally just down the hill from the state capitol, y'all. This is not like off in the hood area of Montgomery. This is down the road from where Governor Ivey and the legislature do business. So anyway, that happened this past weekend. And of course, you know, you got Mayor Stephen Reed, who's an absolute flaming liberal. By the way, in case you're not familiar, let's talk about the Reeds for a minute. Can I do that? I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege. Joe Reed is the mayor, or excuse me, the leader of the teachers union. For years and years and years, Joe Reed has got the teachers union wrapped around his little finger. And Joe Reed was second only in the teachers union to the guy who was in charge. But let's talk about Joe Reed for a minute. Joe Reed is also a race-baiting charlatan. Joe Reed will get on any given speech and make sure that everybody understands that Democrats are for black people and that white people are evil. And yet, you know, half his party in Alabama is white, and he just discounts them at every turn. In fact, he changes the rules to make sure that they have no say. And then the mayor of Montgomery is his son. Okay, that tells you where we are. So the mayor of Montgomery is a son of one of the most influential race baiters and charlatans in the state of Alabama and longtime head of the Democrat Party and teachers union. And he's now the mayor of Montgomery. So that being said, we've got a problem in Montgomery with crime, and it just came to a head again last night. So, yeah, there's that.
By the way, I found the 30-second ad from Jason Myers on Jay Jones,
to play it. Yeah, you want to play it? Can you play it without an ad? There's no ad mixed in or anything? We can get it up there? Mm-hmm. No other ad mixed in on it.
No.
Okay. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Before we go to the break, let's go ahead and play. We're talking about crime, and we're talking about the right people there to enforce it and to do something about it. And that includes attorneys general, by the way. And in Virginia, they got a problem. Play it.
The Washington Post confirms Jay Jones sent texts that imagined shooting the Republican Speaker of the House. Jay Jones wished the speaker's wife could watch her own child die in her arms. It's so disgusting. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Jay Jones confirmed that he hoped an opponent's children could die to advance his political agenda. Can you trust Jay Jones to protect your children?
I'm Jason Yarez, candidate for Attorney General. I sponsor this ad.
Wow. You know, there's times when I've seen ads and you look at it and go, come on, man, at least speak truth. You know, where all they did there was to say, this is what he said.
And then provided sources to go look at yourself.
And he has not denied that he said it, right?
Nope. He's just expressed regret for saying it.
All right. Take me to a break, JP. Wow. Expressed regret. Well, at least he expresses regret. How many Democrats don't? Anyway, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. I'm going to the phones because he held on during the break, and I want to honor his time. So, Mike from Harvest. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm doing well, Senator Williams. How about yourself, sir?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about the Democrat candidate for Attorney General in Virginia with his comments.
Yeah.
His comments came out of reason he wanted to shoot the Speaker of the House, who was a moderate Republican, because the Speaker, Mr. Guilford, said nice things about a Democrat at their funeral.
Do what now?
That's why he wanted to kill him.
He wanted to kill him because he said nice things about a Democrat?
Yep.
That makes no sense. Why would extending a compliment be worth killing for?
Because he felt that, you know, if Republicans are saying nice things about a Democrat, that Democrat really wasn't hardcore enough.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
You may want to look into that. Like I said, that makes it the language even worse.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
It actually puts a different twist on it and maybe even an uglier flavor. But,
Good enough. But I thought that you might like to know that.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for hanging on during the break, buddy.
No problem, sir. You have a wonderful day, sir.
You too. Take care. Hey, on this crime in the streets thing. So, yeah, Montgomery, Alabama. And by the way, if you haven't seen the headlines, I wonder why they're not out there. Why is this not national news? It should be. And if it hadn't gotten picked, if it's not picked up very soon, I'm gonna really question this, because that's a mass shooting. But that's right smack down the road from our state capital. But look around at what's happening in other places. Portland is just an absolute mess. And the governor and the mayor of Portland and the governor of Oregon are pretending that this is really, I just don't, and you know, I mean, listen, when you see pictures of the governor of Oregon, you just, I don't know, she just screams liberal Karen. She just like screams liberal Karen.
And she encapsulates the Portland population well, unfortunately.
Well, there you have it. It says all you need to know. But the bottom line is the liberal policies are making it worse. And we're watching the ICE agents and DHS being attacked on the streets by Antifa. And then you got Chicago. And Chicago, Mayor Brandon Johnson out there with his flaming rhetoric is out there saying the Trump administration is now declaring war on Chicago. How about this? The one declaring war on Chicago are the Chicago Democrats, because they won't do a thing to help their people. Well, we don't need that Trump help. Apparently you do, murder capital of the nation. Well, now the governor is just doing his thing too, J.D. Pritzker, just making it worse. But it's so bad that the other day, ICE agents in Chicago found their vehicle surrounded by a ring of 10 other vehicles, and they were basically trapped. And it was they put out an all call for police assistance, and the police did not respond. The police were ordered not to respond. Now, I'll be honest with you, at some point, I'm thinking that somebody in blue in one of these blue cities is going to have to say, screw y'all, we're doing what our job says do. But the National Police Union, the Fraternal Order of Police at the national level, the national FOP, came out and condemned Chicago leaders, saying that what happened right now with Chicago PD being told not to respond to ICE agents in distress is absolutely a violation of the basic tenets of what it means for policing, that you respond to a brother or sister in blue who is in distress, under fire, in need of assistance. You just don't not respond when that happens. That's a breakdown of the civil order right there. Department of Homeland Security, by the way, shows that ICE agents have now faced 1,000% increase in violence since the start of this year. 1,000%. Guess where it is? I'm sorry. Is it in red state Huntsville, Alabama? No. Is it in, Nashville, Tennessee? No. You know where it is? All the blue cities. They've got to get a handle on it. Coming up next, Morgan Murphy running for U.S. Senate. He's got some thoughts on this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday, because it's always about the food, right? Well, I tell you what, it's always about the politics, too, on this show. We talk a lot about not only the politics, but who the people are in the mix on the politics. And one of the most recent names to enter the fray for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Alabama's Tommy Tuberville is Morgan Murphy. Morgan Murphy is about to come on the line with us, and just so you know a little bit about him, Morgan Murphy hails from the Birmingham area. He's a former U.S. Navy captain. He was also a senior advisor to both Trump and Tuberville. He was a senior fellow at the America First Policy Institute with degrees from Birmingham Southern and even University of Oxford. That being said, there's an article that came out in 1819 today in which Morgan Murphy weighed in on this very thing we've been talking about, crime in the streets, saying there's no excuse for blue cities and red states to be war zones. We need the National Guard in Montgomery to restore long-awaited law and order. All right. Morgan Murphy on the line right now. Morgan Murphy, how you doing?
Bill, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you making time. In fact, I'll go ahead and confess, I actually texted you at 6:30 this morning and asked if you could come on, and you said yes. So thank you very much.
Man, I'm a Navy guy. I get up early, so no problem at all.
But if you were Air Force, you'd have been sleeping in. Hey, listen, I want to just kind of touch base on this because the shooting that occurred this past weekend in Montgomery, which for reasons I can't fathom is not getting a lot of national press, 14 people shot, two killed. That's a big deal, and it's right down the street from our state capitol. Your thoughts on the use of National Guard?
I mean, down the street, it's in the shadow. It was six blocks from the capitol. It was four blocks from the highest court in Alabama, the Supreme Court, right next to our convention center in the most beautiful and iconic spot in Montgomery.
Yeah, it's awful. It really is awful.
We're desensitized to it as Americans because it's going on everywhere. It didn't make national news because it's going on in Baltimore, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in Memphis, in Birmingham. It's in all these blue run cities, and we're just used to it. Sadly, as Americans, in my hometown of Birmingham, just a year ago, we had about the same number of people shot in Five Points, right, which is 2 miles from my house, Five Points South.
Wow.
There's 17 injured and 4 killed. I guess the travesty of that is, Phil, is it was one guy. It was one guy, one young kid, 22 years old, who murdered 18 people in Birmingham, Alabama, over a 14-month period. 18 people. This one guy was responsible, allegedly responsible, I have to say for legal purposes, but allegedly responsible for 30% of all the murders in Birmingham that year.
Yeah.
One guy.
Yeah.
And he'd been let out. You know, he'd been let out of jail in 2019. He had shot at a car that was occupied, and they hauled him up in Bessemer, in court in Bessemer. And they let him off on a warning, basically. And within hours of being released in 2019, he was arrested again for illegal firearm possession. And when they released him a second time, he murdered 18 people. To me, we talk about three strikes and you're out for criminals. I didn't really have three strikes and you're out for judges. The idiot judge that let these guys go should be held responsible and get off the bench. Your judgment stinks.
Well, that particular judge, by the way, who let him out, if I'm not mistaken, is a judge who prides himself, in his own words, of being a self-avowed liberal and has made more than once inflammatory statements on social media that are unbecoming of any judge who's supposed to be apolitical. And I'm surprised that he's still on the bench right now. But that being said,
the DA was gone too. I mean, it's a mess in Birmingham, and it's a mess in a lot of other blue cities, and we know it's a mess. And as Republicans, you know, Republicans left, you know, have just sort of looked the other way for basically my whole life, for 50 plus years. They've just looked the other way as our beautiful cities have fallen into crime infested war zones. And we all know it. And we all know what neighborhoods not to go into and, you know, to watch ourselves and lock the doors. And it's awful when you think Chicago, right, was once the Paris of the plains. When Baltimore was a shining city on the sea, and today, look at them, what a mess. But you talk about the National Guard. I've been working for President Trump and Tommy Tuberville for the past 5 years in Washington, D.C., which is not an easy place for a conservative to live. Let me tell you, 93.5% of the city is liberal. The other 6.5% is communist. It's a rough place to be conservative, but I have a condo that's just, you know, six blocks from the U.S. Senate, and it's a nice place, right? It's in the shadow of the Capitol, and this summer, before Trump called out the National Guard, my neighbor was robbed at gunpoint at 9:40 in the morning.
Wow.
outside our condominium. And that's typical. It's typical to walk down the street, or it was until the National Guard came in. It's typical to walk down the street, jog past homeless folks every day, jog past people, being arrested, jog past, homeless campments, people sleeping on benches. My son asked why were all these people camping in front of Union Station, the most beautiful train station in the nation?
Yeah, it really is.
And, I had to explain to him, well, son, those are homeless people, and they don't want to go to a shelter because there are rules in a shelter, and they don't want to follow those rules. And Trump came in, and everybody, every liberal, howled like they just kicked their grandmother or something. But he came in, and within 2 weeks, crime dropped by 40% in this city, and I cannot tell you the difference.
Go figure.
Night and day.
It is. I was there not long ago, and it's not like, I lived in D.C. when I worked at the Pentagon. I lived in Old Town Alexandria, and I used to go jogging. I used to call them, I used to go for extended long walks. And I just wanted to see things that you would see off the beaten path, and just wander around and I'm struck by the fact that I think there's whole swaths of what I used to walk around in just 15 years ago that I don't know that I would do that now. And it's wrong, I was really struck by when I was there before.
You and I are big guys, right? We're not petite women walking around. Imagine
exactly
how they feel in this.
That's exactly right. But I was struck by the fact that I had an Uber driver who told me things are going pretty good right now. So he was pleased.
Right. It's incredible though. I mean, it took the president's vision and courage to do it. And just say enough is enough. And I love what he said. He said, my dad told me that if I went into a restaurant and the front door was dirty, that the kitchen was probably dirty too. And Washington, D.C. is the front door to our nation. Montgomery is the front door to Alabama. We need to clean it up. I'm tired of hearing the excuses. It's been on the left and the right. I'm not blaming one party for it. We've looked the other way for a long time. Basically, the murder rate in Alabama has been stagnant for 75 years. It's been about the same. For 75 years. And Trump has come in and said, no, we're just not going to put up with that anymore. 1950, there were 256 murders in Alabama, and last year there were 554. So per capita, the population's doubled. It's about the same. And that's just a shame.
Well, it is a shame. And it's, I think you also pointed, I love the fact that you pointed out in your article in 1819 this morning, we were quoting you. You said there's no excuse for blue cities and red states. I mean, I get incensed when I see things happening in Portland, Oregon, or in Chicago, right. Illinois. Well, they've got both state and local leadership that hate Trump. In this case, we're talking about a blue city in a red state. There's no reason why we can't do something more direct.
There's no reason why we can't grab the reins and fix it. It's fixable. Trump has shown that it is fixable. We've heard every excuse in the world, right, about why it's not fixable. Well, lots of problems. I mean, it's not limited to just crime. But the basic message is we do not have to live like this.
Yeah.
We do not have to put up with this.
Well, listen, I want to spend about 3 or 4 minutes. I try to get my audience an opportunity to hear from everybody who's running for offices that impact them. And in this case, U.S. Senate impacts everybody in the state. You threw your name in the hat about 2 weeks ago. What I would like is, and this is almost sounds like a puff interview, but I'm not trying to do that. I want them to know who you are, though. You spent time in the Navy. You've got time working in policy and in foreign affairs. Give us a quick rundown of you and what got you into the race.
Well, thank you. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. Grew up there, born and raised, and really dreamed of being a writer. So worked for the Birmingham News way back when as an intern, and then got an internship with the New York Post. So that was my first national byline. Went up to New York and worked up there 6 years at Forbes magazine and Vanity Fair, back when magazines had money. People can't believe that now, but they used to. And came back to my hometown to be the travel editor of Southern Living.
Ah.
I was a travel editor and the food critic. So it was like a gravy train with biscuit wheels. And people said, why in the world would you leave that job to go into politics? And I'll tell you why. And I've been a Navy reservist for 26 years. I joined the Navy in 99, deployed to Afghanistan in 2010 and 2011. But when I got back, I noticed just elements of our culture that were amiss. My dad was an Eagle Scout. I was a Boy Scout. Scouting, you know, has lost half its membership in the last 15 years because it's taken the boys out of scouting. I was a lifelong member. Four generations of my family went to the same church in Birmingham, Alabama, and some of your fellow Christian listeners are going to have a stroke when I say this because my whole family had a stroke when we heard it, but our pastor preached that Jesus Christ was a racist.
Wow.
And we all said, check, please. The Navy, when I joined, was the world's largest Navy, 300 and some odd ships. Today it's 285. We're number two to China. Last year, China made 900 ships. We made 7. And I just kept seeing these great pillars of our country collapse, pillars I never thought would collapse, the church, the Boy Scouts, the Navy. And I said, man, if normal people don't go to Washington, if conservatives don't go to Washington and fight this mess, we're going to lose the country. And I came up here in 2020 to work for President Trump. And I worked in the last year of his first term as press secretary of the Department of Defense. I worked with the Secretary of Defense. And what I saw made me even more fearful. That is members of the president's own cabinet backbiting, undermining, trashing him. I can't, you know, tell you their names, but their initials were General Mark Milley was one of them. And it made me sick. And I watched the media get suppressed. I had worked in the media in my first career. And I watched my first newspaper, the New York Post, the nation's oldest newspaper founded by Alexander Hamilton, get stifled during the election for running the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Right.
Facebook, YouTube, Google all suppressed the story. And I was like, this is like living in 1950 Soviet Russia. I couldn't believe it. And so I went to work for Tommy Tuberville. Coach Tuberville had just taken office. And Coach and I were both new to the Senate. I never worked in politics before, but we go in there. And we expected the left to be crazy. After all, remember back in the day, you know, back in 2021, we were going by 25,000 National Guard troops to just get in the office.
Hey, and Morgan, we got about a minute and a half, all right? Yeah. We got about a minute and a half, just so you know.
Yeah. It was a really unpopular time to be a Republican. And we were very few MAGA Republicans there. So now it's really popular. And, you know, now that we're back in all three branches of government, everybody wants to be Republican. That's great. But I'm worried, and I'm running because I want Coach's strong MAGA voice to remain in the Senate. We've got to have someone who backs the president so that on January 21st, 2029, when President Trump leaves office, the blob in D.C. doesn't just come back and want to do things business as usual.
Yeah. Well, and I totally get all that. So you jumped in the race, and I got about 30 seconds here, but you jumped in the race about 2 weeks ago. And you know, the old saying is a week is a lifetime in politics. There's a lot of weeks between now and the primary, 67 counties. You hitting it hard?
We're hitting it hard. We had a great 2 weeks. I've had 5 endorsements from Trump, high level Trump officials, including Sean Spicer, the former Secretary of Defense, Christopher Miller, Stacey McFarland, his national security advisor. Really happy to get all of those endorsements. And they're saying we're reliably MAGA. And I think that's what the people of Alabama need to hear before they pick someone who might go into the Senate. You know, senators tend to stay there a long time, a minimum of 6 years. That's the longest time of any elected official in office.
Well, Morgan Murphy, the music's playing. I mean, the preacher's got to quit preaching now, but that's me, not you. But the reality is we got to go to break. We're going to have you back on again. Thanks for making time for us today. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, Bill.
All right, take care. That's Morgan Murphy. You want to know more about him? He's got a website. Check it out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, hardly any time. I really ran long on that one. I mean, I had JP giving me the ugly look. He was like giving me the stink eye because I was growing long. Whoa. You know you were.
It wasn't a stink eye. It was a just an eye.
It was, that's the kind of thing that makes producers like anxious. We're up against a break.
Listen, I work for Joe Jackson, so you can't make me anxious.
Listen, I got to tell you, I hate cutting people off like that, but we just ran long and I couldn't give him a good closeout. I do want you to know, though, I try to do this for everybody. If you want to know more about Morgan Murphy, who's running for U.S. Senate right now, you can find his website at Murphy, it's M-U-R-P-H-Y, Murphy for Senate, which is F-O-R, MurphyForSenate.com. So MurphyForSenate.com, go check him out. Like I said before, you got a pretty deep bench. By the way, have you noticed that every one of these candidates for that U.S. Senate race on the Republican side comes from an entirely different background? But every one of them is like a eminently qualified background.
All Christian, all strongly conservative. And then, like I said, you got some like Barry Moore and who's got a voting record in Congress. But then you got guys like Jared Hudson who have actively shown, you know, through Covenant Rescue, his willingness to actually get out and do the hard work, like hunting down human traffickers. And then guys like Morgan Murphy, who, you know, completely different background himself, but they all have the same strong Christian conservative, you know, foundation.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's good. All right, listen, we're going to come back in a minute. I'm going to finish up this crime in the streets discussion. I got some stuff I want to give you the details on the National Fraternal Order of Police taking issue with Chicago, which, by the way, a minute ago, the reason why I'm doing that is because a minute ago on the news, Chicago is now trying to crawfish and say, we never said that they couldn't respond. It wasn't like that. Well, yes, it really was. Yes, it really was. So we'll just kind of go down that road here in just a minute and talk about it. But in the meantime, just know this. Crime in the streets, we're talking about, you know, basically blue policies seemingly excusing crime in the streets simply because they hate Trump. I guarantee you, if Joe Biden said, I'm sending the National Guard, they'd have said, thank you, Mr. President. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, making common sense like a superpower. All right, hey, listen, there's a breaking news story that's coming. I'm going to pause the discussion about crime, even though I think this may even kind of be a segue, if you get down to it. It's amazing what leftists and Democrats will investigate and then leave aside the real crime. I am not going to excuse everything that happened on January 6th, all right? There were some people who got way out of hand. If things got broken at our Capitol by somebody who claimed to be on the right, it's just wrong. But that being said, 90% of what occurred and who participated on January 6th was not the insurrection that the left tried to make it out to be. It was asinine. And the very fact that they led our country through all that, more asinine on the January 6th commission. However, a new story just broke, which, by the way, is now up on the, and of course, CNN's not covering it. Maybe Trump's talking about it, but they got Trump talking in the White House. On Fox, they've got several senators with the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations giving a press conference. Just so you know, Special Counsel Jack Smith, remember him? Special Counsel Jack Smith was appointed to investigate issues related to the January 6th and all the, you know, the whether or not Trump incited insurrection and all that stuff. The bottom line is, you know what? There's Coach at the press conference right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is what it's about because Ron Johnson, who also was part of it, is speaking.
And Marshall Blackburn.
Yep.
Yeah, I just texted. In fact, I just got a text back from two of Tuberville's staff. And they said Coach is at the press conference right now with Grassley and Ron Johnson. And look, I'm on the screen. There he is. So the bottom line is this. We are now learning that Kash Patel, as he continues to wade through the piles of documents and emails that are left behind in his effort to clean up the FBI, Kash Patel has discovered that the FBI, during Jack Smith's investigation, which was labeled Operation Arctic Frost, that was its code name, Operation Arctic Frost, that they were actually tracking the phone calls of U.S. senators, to include Tommy Tuberville and Marsha Blackburn and Ron Johnson and Lindsey Graham. I mean, this is sick. So our own Tommy Tuberville, U.S. senator, soon to be the governor of Alabama, and Marsha Blackburn, same thing, senator of Tennessee, soon to be the governor of Tennessee, I think. They had the FBI tracking their phone calls as sitting U.S. senators, not under indictment, not under investigation. I'm telling you, they were so out of control at the Biden DOJ. It's just sick.
Without a warrant, without anything, too.
I mean, what did they have? They had to have some grounds. Article says here, and I can't listen, but there's a press conference going live about it right this very minute. The document recently discovered by FBI Director Kash Patel, exclusively obtained by Fox News, is titled the CAST Assistant. CAST stands for the Cellular Analysis Survey Team. The document has the name of agents redacted, but it marks the ID as Arctic Frost Election Law Matters Sensitive Investigative Matter CAST. This is the investigation as to claims about the election. Okay. The document states the name of the lawmakers and that an FBI special agent on Jack Smith's team conducted preliminary toll analysis on the records associated with the lawmakers. Good Lord.
A private citizen of Dan Bongino
and learned that Deputy Director Dan Bongino was briefing the lawmakers. Now I'm questioning, am I reading this right? Because I can't read. Is Dan Bongino one of the ones that was being monitored, or is Dan Bongino briefing them now on the fact that they were being monitored? I can't tell from the way the article is written.
I think he may have just been briefing them that they were monitored.
He may have, yeah.
But, you know, this is exactly what the Democrats claim Trump is doing, going after his political opponents. It's like, can you imagine the outrage if it came out that Trump was tapping the phones of like Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, AOC, Bernie Sanders? Like, they would be in physical outcry. Like, people would be storming, you know, DC over that on the left.
Yeah, they would.
But that's what they're claiming that the Republicans are doing. But they are doing exactly that. It is projecting.
Well, this is absolutely a mess. And you know, here we are with our own U.S. senator having his phone monitored unbeknownst to him. No warrant, no cause, no probable cause. I mean, what did they have that gave them grounds to do this? Jack Smith, it says, after months of investigating, charged President Trump in the U.S. District Court for Washington, D.C. in the 2020 election case. But after Trump was elected president, Smith sought to dismiss the case, and Judge Tanya Chutkan granted that. That's right. I remember that now. It was the election law matters. Smith's tax, by the way, it also points out in the article that Jack Smith's investigation cost taxpayers $50 million. $50 million. Democrats burned through money like nobody's business. Unstinking believable. So yeah, there you go. Just so you know, breaking news. In an effort to, you know, make the nation safer, Special Counsel Jack Smith was tracking the private communications and phone calls of a dozen Republican senators related to his investigation into January 6th and the election law matters. Unbelievable. That's just madness. I'll be honest with you. I'm sitting here, that just ticks me off. I mean, I've said before, as an attorney, but as somebody who's also considered himself to be a constitutionalist, I love the rule of law. And I recognize there will be times when you have to do things like having a warrant or a search or, you know, some manner of attaining the evidence. But there has to be probable cause. We're a nation of due process. You are not allowed to have things just happen because, you know, politics. No. It's supposed to be keeping politics at bay. And that's absolutely not what's happening. God, at least during the Biden administration. Unbelievable. On the Safe Streets issue, Joe in Tennessee says, I've decided that Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington are the twin Gazas of the U.S. The federal judges have ruled against Trump sending in troops. Just an observation. Yeah, I did see that. In fact, I'll go ahead and just bring that up. So the president has prepared to bring up the Oregon National Guard, which, by the way, in my second tour downrange, I was in Baghdad attached to an infantry battalion out of the Oregon National Guard. And they were some of the finest soldiers I ever served with. They were amazing. Second of the 162nd Infantry, Oregon National Guard, the volunteers. They were absolutely amazing. I saw somebody, I think it was Jack, I can't say his name. Jack Posobiec.
Yes.
That guy.
Yeah.
Say something like, what if an Oregon National Guard turns against the people or something like that? Yeah. And I said, I served with them in Baghdad. Ain't going to happen.
Outside of like Portland and the big cities,
Oregon
is just like most states, it's conservative.
And that's a good point. Same thing with New York.
Yep.
There's a lot of upstaters that hate downstate New York. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of eastern half of Oregon that hates the coastal plains of Oregon.
California.
California's got a lot of red. All right, anyway, Fox News points out, October 6th, Dateline today, federal judge has now blocked Donald Trump's efforts to deploy National Guard troops to Portland. U.S. District Judge Karen Emmergut ruled the action was unlawful, unconstitutional, issuing an emergency temporary restraining order to halt the deployment of California's National Guard. The order also bars the use of troops from any other state or Washington, D.C. in Oregon. I mean, anyway, it's just one thing after another. Oregon's Scott Kennedy said it felt like a game of rhetorical whack-a-mole, referencing reports that Trump might be considering sending the Texas National Guard. Listen, the bottom line is this. If you do it yourself, we don't have to come. We don't want to be there either. I mean, the federal government doesn't want to be there. They don't want to have to send plussed-up troops. They don't want to activate National Guardsmen and uproot them from their daily lives. They don't want to do it. That Trump would much rather not do it. But what he's saying is, in the absence of law and order at the local level, Title 10 of the U.S. Code gives him the authority to do that, and he will. He's proven it. He's done it multiple times, and the Dems cry foul every time. And yet, the governor of Louisiana just the other day asked the president to please let him activate National Guard. There you go. By the way, I've got articles here that point out that the rank and file are getting sick to death of what's happening. Washington, D.C., Dateline yesterday. Fox News again. Washington, D.C. police officers are alleging to the Justice Department that superiors in the Washington PD, the D.C. PD, misclassified crimes in order to make their crime stats look less serious. Please. Three dozen rank-and-file officers and detectives have now lodged complaints with the DOJ as the city faces an investigation. In August, President Trump deployed the National Guard, citing a need to combat the crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor. Trump declared the effort will go further. And now we have Metro PD members that are saying it's even worse than you think because we got leadership that's been cooking the books on the stats. And then you got this one, Chicago. This is Fox News again. I got one here from the Federalist, but I'll go to the Fox first. The National Police Union. So the National FOP, and I cited this briefly earlier, but I got to bring it back to it. The National FOP is ticked, like tired of it. Like rank and file law and order police are saying, would you just let us do our jobs? How can you possibly stop us from doing our jobs? Well, details are emerging, but it appears that officers from the Chicago Police Department were ordered not to assist a group of ICE agents who were being physically threatened by an angry mob. Let me be clear, said the National FOP president. The National FOP and the Illinois FOP believe that when an officer calls for assistance, you answer no matter what. They cited the Illinois Trust Act, which limits local police involvement in immigration enforcement, and said that it is contributing to a breakdown between local and federal law enforcement, particularly in sanctuary cities like Chicago. Yeah, you think? Listen, the end result of these blue policies is someone's going to die.
Hey, can I just ask one quick question before we go to break?
Go ahead.
What it's the judge issued a temporary order, restraining order to keep the National Guard out.
Yeah.
Is there what, like, obviously Trump is going to appeal that. Yes. Is there a way for Trump to just disregard that in the meantime, knowing that he's going to appeal it? Or does he have to abide by that and then appeal and then wait before he sends him?
No, I think he has to abide by it and appeal. He has to abide by it and appeal, and but he can ask for an expedited appeal. So this is going to have to go to an appellate level at the that's going to be the Ninth Circuit, I think. But the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is going to hear it, and then it could go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Because, like, I know tariffs were ruled unconstitutional by two courts, and it's going to the Supreme Court, but the tariffs have stayed in place in the meantime. So I didn't know if there was a way for Trump to continue to do what he does or what he's doing with the National Guard and wait for an appeal, or if he has to.
You're going to have to get the injunction lifted for him to go forward, I believe. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he's acting outside of the law at that point because he's been ordered not to. There's an old saying that the most powerful person in the world is a federal district court judge, because they're the only ones who can actually order the president of the United States to do something. Everybody else after that is just an appeal of what that federal district court judge did. So if you want some clout, baby, you get appointed to the federal bench at the district court level. Don't go to the appellate. Don't go to the Supreme Court. All you do there is just deal with what happened down below you. You're ruling on a you know, a matter of first impression, or a case of, you know, adequate jurisdiction at the lower court level. You're the only one who can demand the president do something. The rest of them just deal with whether or not you were right. Kind of crazy.
It's sad.
It is sad. It's sad. Well, it's sad in some cases.
Well, it's sad when it gets abused.
That too.
Yeah.
I got a few more on this. We'll wrap it up. When we get back from this break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, let's wrap up this section, but we can break back into it anytime. I mean, crime in the streets. There will be crime. Every community has it. Even Mayberry had a jail, right? I mean, it may have not been very occupied, but Mayberry had a jail. Why? Because there's going to be crime everywhere, and I get that. But when you see crime having, you know, like pandemic levels, when you see like what happened in this past weekend in Chicago. So you got Chicago saying, we don't want the federal government. We can't have that. We don't want them here. Well, you just had 22 shootings and 4 murders in the last weekend. 22 shootings, 4 murders in the last weekend. Let that sink in. And yet, nonetheless, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson went ahead and signed an executive order banning ICE operations on city property because, you know, can't allow that to happen. What does that mean? That means, I guess, your illegal aliens that work in City Hall wouldn't get arrested, is what you're saying? I got news. If ICE needs to come into your City Hall, they're gonna. And let's hope they don't have to. And you know what? They shouldn't have to. That's it just occurred to me. I'm arguing against something that shouldn't even be an argument. That's like saying, well, if the thief hides over there, we're not going to let it. What? And then you got things like this. Portland. You know what? There are places in the world you couldn't pay me to vacation. One of them is Portland, Oregon right now. And by the way, Oregon's a beautiful state. Now, I will vacation in the Cascades. I'm fine with that. I would love to go see some of the guys that I serve with who live in Eastern Oregon. I would love that. I wouldn't mind going to a Ducks game. I'd be cool with that. But Portland, you can have it, man. Not until they change their leadership. Portland, according to the Federalist, Dateline 3 days ago, Portland police are protecting violent leftist organization Antifa while ignoring or punishing the victims of their violence. This happened. Nick Sortor, the guy who does independent journalism, I watched the video of this. Did you see it?
I did.
He's being assaulted by an Antifa protester. He has to pull out his pepper spray, mm-hmm. and spray the person who is literally attacking him. Pepper sprays him. He gets arrested
for disorderly conduct.
For disorderly conduct. He's literally on the street just asking questions, doing nothing but what the media does. He gets assaulted. He gets arrested. That's the way it's working right now in places like... By the way, the other thing that I saw, too, was in Portland. Is it Portland? I think it is. No, or is it... No, it's Portland. They have some of the frontline, quote-unquote, law enforcement are what they call engagement officers. They have no arrest authority. They're just allowed to talk to people. What... If you're a bad guy who already doesn't care about the law and somebody walks up and goes, excuse me, sir, you need to stop that. Oh, are you an engagement officer? Well, yes, I am. Get away from me.
Yeah. It's like when a mall cop tries to arrest you. Sorry, don't mean to offend any mall cops that may be listening. But it's like, yeah, like what authority do you have?
I did have a mall cop one time totally offended me.
Really?
Yes. It's a story.
I'm sure it is.
I'm in the Gadsden Mall. I'm standing there. I was a youth minister. And I'm talking to one of my kids. And we're just standing there talking. And the mall cop, who's a little bitty guy, walks up to me and goes, move along, please. And I didn't say anything because I thought sure he wasn't talking to me. And I was just talking to one of my kids. And I'm just, you know, sir, I said, move along. Move along. And I said, excuse me? And he said, you need to move along. I said, why am I moving along? And now I'm in this weird dynamic where I want to model well in front of this kid. And yet I've got this guy who's like, like wearing the tin badge and pushing me around like Barney Fife.
Like Paul Blart.
I mean, he's like, it's like his head comes up to my chin and he's like looking up at me going, move along. And I'm like, why is, you know, Frodo telling me to move along?
It's like an engagement officer.
Yes, exactly.
Excuse me.
And I said, sir, I'm actually buying things in the mall and I'm talking to my friend and I'm a 35-year-old man. I think I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I just need you to move along. I said, we will move along momentarily. And he didn't know what to do and he walked away. I'm sorry. Why did we chase that rabbit? That's your fault.
That is my fault. My apologies.
All right, that's enough of that topic. We're going to come back and talk about America Rising. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday. Oh, yeah. Meatloaf Monday, because it's always about the food. All right, that is the hour that we are in, and I got a ton of text messages to catch up on. And you got some over there on social media, too. What do you got on your end?
We got a super chat here from Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave says, when the love of God grows cold, the love for one another also grows cold, and lawlessness grows rampantly. I try to tell myself we're battling spiritual forces. It's hard to keep that mindset.
That's a great point. And you know what? I had an interesting conversation. Thank you, Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Dave, right?
Pastor Dave with the $10 super chat.
Hey, $10 super chat. Appreciate you, Pastor Dave. So, yeah, I had an interesting conversation the other night on CNN with Van Latham. And, you know, we differ wildly on politics. I'll be honest with you. He's a nice guy off the air. We you know, had interesting conversations on the way out together and stuff. But on the air, we had a conversation about the love of God. We did. And we talked about it in terms of what's happening in our culture right now. And I will be honest with you, Van is notorious for taking the subject down a rabbit hole, right? So we weren't even necessarily on that. He was beginning to kind of trail off into rabbit holes. But he started trying to say that if you can't, you know, basically acquiesce to someone else's truth, and I'm paraphrasing big time, but that's kind of where he was.
That's what he, yeah.
That what he was saying is, you know, the transgender kid having to hide from his parents and the, you know, the yada, yada, yada. And I said, my point to him was, you are implying that the love of God would also not also be allowed to have standards. You're allowed to have, when my kids were growing up, if they were doing something wrong, it never changed my love for them. It was unconditional, but it did not mean I didn't tell them they were wrong, and I did not try to provide corrective action when necessary. And granted, there's a fine line. What is corrective action? Okay, you don't want to abuse somebody, obviously, but that's not what we're talking about. And so the left believes that love is only unconditional if there are no conditions attached.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
But the actual level of unconditional love means, sure, there can be consequences, but it won't change the fact that I love you. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have that in place, then you have a well-ordered society, to Pastor Dave's point. How did he word it? It's hard to keep that mindset. And lawlessness grows rampantly. So the love for one another also grows cold when the love of God grows cold. All right, to your point too, I think that also is a great implication. We have to keep faith at the forefront.
Yeah.
So, Pastor Dave, thanks.
And you know, Van is—he's almost there. Like he's one of those. Like he started off his statement by saying, you know, he believes in God. He's afraid, you know, what God sees when he looks at. Like you can see the way he talks. He's open to the, you know, belief in God, and maybe has a belief in God, but not fully committed to, you know, the Christian beliefs or whatever. Yeah. I see some people they're just cold to the soul. It seems like, but he, you know, the way he talked, it's. I think there's hope for Van. You know,
I would agree. I do. And like I said, nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
We just differ politically. I gotta catch up on text messages. Karen from Lawrence County, Alabama, texted in earlier about that Montgomery shooting and said, is that the same Renaissance Hotel where the state GOP has its meetings? Yes, it is. It's the same Renaissance Hotel where I've been to multiple conferences, stayed overnight. And also, it's where I even took the bar exam. Believe it or not, they use the giant ballroom there for the bar exam. So, yes, it is. Jeff from Indiana said, way back earlier in the show, he said, Phil, if the candidate for AG would have said this about the president, he'd be getting a visit from the Secret Service. No doubt. What he's talking about there is the Democrat candidate for Attorney General in the state of Virginia is on his heels right now because it was discovered that he sent just some of the most awful text messages about wishing that he could shoot the Speaker of the House in the head. And then, you know, his wife and children also be killed. There's no excuse. He's being called on now to drop out of the race, but Democrats are rallying behind him and saying he's still going to stay in.
Yeah, like Democrats are saying, I support Jay Jones, period. It's like, okay, what does that say about you?
By the way, you know, he didn't try the old, I was hacked and that's not really me.
Yeah, because he knows if he's got support from his Democrat buddies, obviously. So he's just got to say he's sorry and then move on, which is sad.
Yeah, it is. Chris from Rogersville checked in on the Montgomery shooting in which 14 people were shot, two others were killed. He says, you know why it's not a national news story? It doesn't fit the agenda. That may be true. I don't know, but that may well be true. Cameron from Decatur said, I grew up in Montgomery. It used to be a nice place. Now I feel bad for my friends and family who have to live there. I feel like the best thing I ever did for my family was move. So sad. Well, and then they wonder, you know, listen, when I was in Montgomery in the state Senate, we worried about, not for our own safety, we worried about things like, it's our state capital. I mean, it's the window to our state from people coming from the outside to meet with a seat of government. And it's also, by the way, where Maxwell Air Force Base is. Maxwell Air Force Base is literally about 10 minutes, no, less than that, 5 minutes from where this shooting took place. Now, when I was down there, because I have, you know, military ID, a lot of times I would stay on Maxwell Air Force Base in the officer's quarters. I'd get a senior officer's quarters. I liked it because once you drove inside the gate, it's like you were in an oasis. You pulled through the gate, it was like you were in small town America. Leave it to Beaver. Everything neat and trim and nice, and you stayed overnight and got a breakfast in the DFAC and came on anyway. I used to eat at the golf course on the Maxwell all the time. But there's been talk about, see, Maxwell is the schoolhouse for the Air Force. That's where all the enlisted and senior officers go for their actual education. There's been talk about pulling it because of the crime rate in Montgomery and the schools.
Well, it really gives you encouragement when Stephen Reeve put a written statement in response to Kay Ivey saying that it's actually the lax gun laws in Alabama that caused the shooting.
Whatever.
It's like when you have the mayor speaking like that, it makes you a little bit discouraged.
The law-abiding citizens who own firearms are not the issue.
Yep.
Just saying. Clint from Tony, Alabama says, Phil, I just saw a social media post from a retired law enforcement officer that from that neck of the woods. He posted a transcript of radio traffic telling Chicago PD to stand down and gave no assistance to the ICE agents. I saw that. And thank you for bringing that back to my attention. Yeah, for those who are wondering, yes, there was a story that the National Fraternal Order of Police is incensed because Chicago PD was ordered to stand down and not respond to ICE units who were being threatened by a mob, ICE officers. And here's a copy of it. I'm assuming this is real. I can only assume, but it's a copy of the message traffic. Chief of Patrol, no units will respond to this as related from, and then it has call signs and all that kind of stuff. Wow. And it even says approximately 30 armed Border Patrol agents are being surrounded by a large crowd of people and requesting CPD assistance. And they were told no units will respond. My God. Mark from Tony, Alabama says, Nancy planned January 6th. Okay. Thank you. If you have a smoking gun on that, please let me know. What do we got here? This came from, who'd this come from? Looking for a Democrat that loves our country is like trying to find a Tootsie Roll in a septic tank. Oh, my word. I don't even want to think about that too hard. That was JT Lacey Springs. Thank you very much. Dana from Athens says, why do these judges think the rule of SCOTUS doesn't matter? They're finding workarounds. They are finding workarounds. It's not always the same exact thing, and the judges are not defying SCOTUS. They're just going places SCOTUS hasn't quite gone yet. So there's that. Brian from Decatur, what happens if ICE people are injured or killed? Can Trump then act regardless of the court order? Okay, hang on a second. If ICE agents are injured or killed in the line of duty, I can't. I think it's going to be, and I hate to say this, but in the military we say situation dictates. Your situation dictates. If a mob surrounds an ICE caravan, assaults the ICE officers, one of them is killed, I guarantee you Trump's sending in reinforcements and he could care less what the city officials say. And he will declare an emergency. If we have a situation where ICE is attacking a federal facility like an ICE detention facility or a federal courthouse like they've done, then Trump can reinforce that without permission. It's considered federal property. If you just have crime on the streets like murders in certain neighborhoods and all those kinds of things, Trump is probably not going to be sending in the guard, in defiance of the court order. I'm not sure if I answered the question, but I think I did. Michael from ARAB, well, I'm cleaning them up here. Michael from ARAB says, I believe the president needs to fire AG Pam Bondi. Really? Why? He said, all the things Biden and the deep state have done to Trump and nobody has went to jail or even been tried in court. Michael, come on, man. You know how much it takes to be able to put together an investigation and hold a grand jury and get an indictment? I mean, the man's been in office for, what, 8 months? It doesn't work that way. And the idea that you want something to happen now, well, that's called kangaroo court. You're not going to get there and not. He said, I think Bondi's part of the deep state. Okay, Michael, come out of the conspiracy websites. No, that's not true. You're actually literally not looking at the bigger picture. You're like choosing not to. And I appreciate the fact that you want something to happen. A lot of us do. I'm also thinking you're going to start seeing it happening, especially since you saw Comey indicted most recently. But don't believe for a second that Pam Bondi came in because she's part of the deep state. She wasn't even in D.C. until now. Matt from Madison says, no consequences leads to no respect and no regard for others or law, and order leads to anarchy where we find ourselves today. In some places. Mike from Coxie says, Colonel Phil, Ecclesiastes 8:11 is being played out right before our eyes. Quote, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Wow, that's interesting. You know what? I'm in Ecclesiastes right now, and I'm not at chapter 8 yet. I'm just going back through it, so I'll be dialing in on that one. Last one, Shag Nasty the Atheist. Pray tell, Shag, what have you got for us? He says, please, more conservative infighting on conspiracies. There's no infighting. I just told him no. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'm going to jump on to some America Rising. I think you're going to like this. And we're going to talk about several things, to include, who in God's name is Bad Bunny? We'll be right back.